Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasyanaya bhagavata parikarma shuddha. Satvatmanas tadanusam smarananuportya. Jnanam virakti madhabhur nishitena yena. Chicheda samshaya padam nija jiva kosham. Tasya naya bhagavata parikarma shuddha. Satvatmanas tadanusam smarananuportya. Jnanam virakti madhabhur nishitena yena. Chicheda samshaya padam nija jiva kosham. Tasya, his. Anaya, by this. Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parikarma, activities in devotional service. Shuddha, pure, transcendental. Sattva, existence. Atmanaha, of the mind. Tat, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anusam smarana, constantly remembering. Anupurtya, being perfectly done. Jnanam, knowledge. Virakti, non-attachment. Mat, possessing. Abhut became manifested. Nishitena.
By sharpened activities.
Yena.
By which.
Chicheda.
Become separated.
Samshaya padam.
Position of doubtfulness.
Nija.
Own.
Jiva.
Kosham.
Engagement of the living entity.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. By regularly discharging devotional service, Prithu Maharaj became transcendental in mind and could therefore constantly think of the lotus feet of the Lord. Because of this, he became completely detached and attained perfect knowledge by which he could transcend all doubt. Thus he was freed from the clutches of false ego and the material conception of life. Please repeat. By regularly discharging devotional service, Prithu Maharaj became transcendental in mind and could therefore constantly think of the lotus feet of the Lord. Because of this, he became completely detached and attained perfect knowledge, by which he could transcend all doubt. Thus he was freed from the clutches of false ego and the material conception of life. We'll just read the purport. It's quite a long purport today. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Narada Pancharatra, devotional service to the Lord is likened unto a queen. When a queen gives an audience, many maidservants follow her. The maidservants of devotional service are material opulence, liberation, and mystic powers. The Kamis are very much attached to material enjoyment. The Gyanis are very anxious to become freed from material clutches. And the yogis are very fond of attaining the eight kinds of mystic perfection. From the Narada Pancharatra, we understand that if one attains the stage of pure devotional service, he also attains all the opulences derived from fruitive activities, empiric philosophical speculation, and mystic yogic practice. Srila Bilvan Mangala Thakur therefore prayed in his Krishna Karanamrita, "My dear Lord, if I have unflinching devotion to you, you become manifest before me personally, and the results of fruitive activity and empiric philosophical speculation, namely religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, become like personal attendants and remain standing before me as if awaiting my order." The idea here is, the idea here is that the Gyanis, by culture of Brahma Vidya, spiritual knowledge, struggle very hard to get out of the clutches of material nature, but a devotee, by dint of his advancement in devotional service, automatically becomes detached from his material body. When the devotee's spiritual body begins to manifest, he actually enters into his activities in transcendental life. At present, we have contacted a material body, material mind, and material intelligence, but when we become free from these material conditions, our spiritual body, spiritual mind, and spiritual intelligence become manifest. In that transcendental state, a devotee attains all the benefits of karma, jnana, and yoga. Although he never engages in fruitive activities or empiric speculation to attain mystic powers, automatically mystic powers appear in his service. A devotee does not want any kind of material opulence, but such opulence appears before him automatically. He does not have to endeavor for it. Because of his devotional service, he automatically becomes Brahma Bhuta. As stated before, this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mamchayo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samatidyai tan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who is engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Because of his regular discharge of devotional service, A devotee attains the transcendental stage of life. Since his mind is transcendentally situated, he cannot think of anything but the lotus feet of the Lord. This is the meaning of the word samsmarana anupurtya. By constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, the devotee immediately becomes situated in Sudasattva. Sudasattva refers to that platform which is above the modes of material nature, including the mode of goodness. In the material world, the mode of goodness is considered to be representative of the highest perfection. But one has to transcend this mode and come to the stage of Sudasattva, or pure goodness, where the three qualities of material nature cannot act. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the following example. If one has strong digestive power, after eating he automatically lights a fire within his stomach to digest everything and does not need to take medicine to aid his digestion. Similarly, the fire of devotional service is so strong that a devotee does not need to act separately to attain perfect knowledge or detachment from material attractions. A jnani may become detached from material attractions by prolonged discussions on subjects of knowledge and may in this way finally come to the Brahma-Buddha stage, but a devotee does not have to undergo so much trouble. By virtue of his devotional service, he attains the Brahma-Buddha stage without a doubt. The yogis and jnanis are always doubtful about their constitutional position. Therefore, they mistakenly think of becoming one with the Supreme. However, a devotee's relationship with the Supreme becomes manifest beyond all doubt, and he immediately understands that his position is that of eternal servant of the Lord. Jnanis and yogis without devotion may think themselves liberated, but actually their intelligence is not as pure as that of a devotee. In other words, the jnanis and yogis cannot become factually liberated unless they become elevated to the position of devotees. Aruya kritshena param padam tataha patantyadho nadrita yushmat angrayaha. Bhagavatam 10.2.32. The jnanis and yogis may rise to the highest position, Brahman realization, but because of their lack of devotion unto the lotus feet of the Lord, they again fall down into material nature. Therefore, jnana and yoga should not be accepted as the real process for liberation. By discharging devotional service, Maharaj Prithu automatically transcended all these positions. Since Maharaj Prithu was a Shaktivesh incarnation of the Supreme Lord, he did not have to act in any way to attain liberation. He came from the Vaikuntha world, or spiritual sky, in order to execute the will of the Supreme Lord on earth. Consequently, he was to return home back to Godhead without having to execute jnana, yoga, or karma. Although Prithu Maharaj was eternally a pure devotee of the Lord, he nonetheless adopted the process of devotional service in order to teach the people in general the proper process for executing the duties of life and ultimately returning home back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Vajcha Kalpatu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Paditanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srimas Hari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham karoti vachalam, pangunam gayate kirim, yad kripa tamaham vande, shri gurum dinatarinam. So, I'd first like to thank the devotees for giving me the opportunity to say something today, to speak something on Krishna and his pastimes, to purify myself. So it's very interesting that Srila Prabhupada makes the point here, firstly, that Maharaj Prithu is eternally a pure devotee. He didn't have to do any of these activities. He's an eternally liberated Shakti Avesh avatar. But he's acting in this way to teach us the process of going back home, back to Godhead. As Prabhupada says here, he adopted the process of devotional service in order to teach the people in general the proper process for executing the duties of life and ultimately returning home back to Godhead. We can see that even though Prithu Maharaj had a perfect life, of course he was born from the sacrifice of Maharaj Vena and accepted as a Shakti Vesh incarnation of the Lord, during his life, he perfectly executed all his duties, including devotional service. It's not that he just began devotional service after leaving his kingdom. We read all of the descriptions that he was sponsoring all the different sacrifices, he was doing all the different devotional services during his householder life and during his life as a king, as a Kshatriya. So he was a Kshatriya Grihastha in his active life. And it said in a previous verse, verse 7, that he then took to the renounced life in this, with the same vigor and the same action that he had performed his householder life with the same intensity. So we can see that although King Prithu was performing devotional service throughout his life, still at the end of life, he externally left those activities and he focused on Krishna consciousness. Because during the life, even if one is a devotee and performing all devotional activities, still in the grihastha life or in the active life as an administrator or businessman, whatever one may be in the world, still there are so many requirements for the mind to accept, to reject on the material platform. Isn't it just like we know the story of Shukadeva Goswami was walking and unclothed, and some young girls were there, didn't pay any notice, but then when the father, Vyasadev, came, they followed the protocol and quickly covered themselves. And then the inquiry was made, why this young boy is 16, but the old man, you're concerned? And the response was that, yes, because that your mind is, as a grihastha, your mind is used to thinking like that. You're within the social system of thinking, you know, this is a man, this is a woman, this is a young person, this is an old person. You must make these distinctions as a person of the world within your ashram. So even though, of course, there's Vyasadeva, Prithu Maharaj, these are, you know, exalted, actually, they're both incarnations of some variety of the Lord himself. But still they're seeing in this way. And to show us example, they then actually give up altogether the engagement. And Prabhupada says here that Shukadeva Goswami says, the Bhagavatam saying here that by regularly discharging devotional service, Prithu Maharaj became transcendentally mind and could therefore constantly think of the lotus feet of the Lord. So as Prithu Maharaj, as a king, he would have had to make so many decisions, accepting and rejecting different things based on the Dharma Shastras, would have had to make so many different compromises in applying the philosophy, not that he compromised himself at all, but in terms of applying the philosophy into the relative world. For example, our great Acharya in recent time is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this regard, and he was a magistrate and he had to deal with so many different kinds of activities, different things that he was dealing with. One time, some Hindu and Muslim were having a problem. There's something about a cow. Actually, somebody had actually killed a cow, one of the Muslims. But he had to very fairly administer justice according to the state, and he gave both parties prison sentences. So this is a small example, but in so many different ways, dealing with family, dealing with relatives, there's so many different things that are not to do with the actual living entity. This verse saying here is that the actual living entity, in other words, the soul, can actually completely meditate on the Supreme Lord when uninterrupted in this later stage of life, and therefore the Vedas recommend that towards the end of life that one take to vanaprastha life, renounced life, and if favorable, also sannyas life, completely becoming socially dead and just traveling and preaching. And this is very much favorable for developing Krishna consciousness to the highest level. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never wanted us to prematurely renounce that famous pastime when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in South India. He stayed at a house of the Korma Brahmana, and he was dancing and chanting in ecstasy. And when he left, the Korma Brahmana came and said, "Please, I want to come with you and become a sannyasi." Lord Chaitanya covered his ears and said, "Don't speak like this anymore. You stay at your house. Yare reka tarikaha Krishna upadesh. Amara agyaya guru hana tara edesh. Yare deke, well, whoever you see, tarikaha, to them speak Krishna upadesh, the teachings of Krishna. Amara agyaya, under my order, guru hana tara edesh. You can actually become a guru in your family, in your town, and deliver the people." And he said, "If you do like this, actually, I will return." He said, "No, actually, I won't return." In a sense, he said, "Actually, I'll never leave. I'll always be with you. No? I'll be with you eternally." So Lord Chaitanya didn't want some kind of premature renunciation when one has a favorable situation for engaging everything in the Lord's service. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave one story. It's called Broken Bed Philosophy, that one man who's a very poor man wanted to get his daughter married, so he offered in the dowry some a bed set, like a bed and a desk of drawers and stuff. So you still see in Bengal that something is offered when the daughter is given. The richer people will offer gold and jewels, and the poorer people may, like a mobile phone or something like that. One of our helpers in the house recently, the son got married, and the complaint was that she just came with one sari. That's all she came. Came into the house with one sari, the new daughter-in-law. If the marriage was happened, nobody even knew about it. They came, "Oh, we're married." So this is not this is not very much appreciated. So the system is that something will be given. And when the daughter is given in marriage, something is given to help establish, and of course also security for the daughter, for the wife, that she'll have her own gold and things like that. So in case, you know, there's some problem down the track, then she has something of value that's actually hers. You know, she can, she could trade the gold or give the gold to some. Anyway, there's something there that if something happened, then she has something like that. So many purposes are served. So anyway, that story goes that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is explaining broken bed philosophy, that this poor man, he offered the bed set and the table, the dresser, and for the dowry for the daughter. So one other poor man, he took up the offer and got married. And then, they're lying on the bed. After a few days, the bed was just made from cheap wood, and the bed just sagged, and the whole thing just broke. So then that poor man, he said, actually it's nicer sleeping on the floor. You know, this is actually nicer. Who needs all this nonsense, beds and everything? We should just sleep on the floor. This is very nice. So of course, He's renouncing the bed, but not out of any, higher principle of, that sleeping on the floor is better for spiritual life or even mature life. Just simply that he lost it. He wanted it, but it broke. He couldn't maintain it. The thing broke. Therefore, I renounce it. I don't need that. This kind of renunciation has very, very little value and benefit. Tabodam bena cheva yat. Krishna explains in the Gita that this kind of renunciation, austerities, that's done out of pride or just to try and avoid some, done out of pride or material reason, it's temporary. You don't really have any lasting benefit like that. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the emblem of pure devotional service in this age, he took the sannyasa ashram at the tender age of 24. And of course, described that he wasn't like this at all. He had perfect household situation. He had a very loving mother, a very beautiful wife. He had many, many followers, any kind of wealth. He used to just walk around here in Navadvip. And he would just walk into anybody's shop and they would just give him things, like, oh, Nimai, come in, give him cloth, give him fruits, and give him, even jewelry, anything, whatever he wanted, he would just walk. He had everything, yeah, everything. He renounced out of a desire to serve the Lord. Of course, he is the Lord, but in this pastime, he's renouncing for a spiritual reason, for his mission, and not out of any mature reason. The basic principle of devotional service is whatever is favorable for service, then we accept that. Whatever is unfavorable, we reject that. So if it's favorable to renounce, if it's favorable to give something up, then we give something up. If it's favorable to accept something, to use something in Krishna's service, then we will use that in Krishna's service. And this is the principle. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, all of these rules and regulations of Vanashram, these are basically the social system of the Vaishnavas in their conditioned stage. So in the conditioned stage of a Vaishnav, this is Vanashram. It doesn't have any value. It doesn't have any separate value. Krishna says there's always combinations of the modes, sometimes goodness, passion. So one may be a perfect brahmana in the Vanashram system for many, many lifetimes, but ultimately some mode of ignorance will creep in, he will become degraded. He may go to heaven, but then there'll be something, he'll go to hell. So there's no value in Vanashram in a perfect life on its own. It's only value is as the social system of the Vaishnavas in the conditioned stage. And this is the basket that's holding the fruits. The actual fruits is the devotional service. And as we progress, we are heading towards the spontaneous devotional service that ultimately, in the ultimate perfection, the pure devotees, they don't need the Vanashram. They don't need these things to protect, to safeguard or protect them while they're acting in this world in the conditioned state, because they're not conditioned. Sri Prabhupada says, Priti Maharaj, he's not conditioned. He doesn't need that. He didn't need to follow this for himself, but he followed it for other people. So as we progress in devotional service, we should see that there is a part of our devotional service that is developing an actual direct attraction for Krishna and Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's service and Krishna's devotees that is separate from just following the rules and regulations. And this is this is technically called Raganuga Bhakti. But this... We know that we're supposed to go from conditioned or Vaidhi Bhakti to Raganuga Bhakti, but it's not going to happen radically. It's not that one day we're going to wake up and all of a sudden we don't need the rules and regulations. It's not like that. Like the caterpillar, he's getting the next leaf, then he's letting go of that one. We have to have some shelter. So this is a very gradual process. So in the beginning, our devotional service more or less is following the rules and regulations. Following the rules and regulations is our expression of love for Krishna. That's what we do. And of course, we keep following them, but as we go along, the acharyas are explaining that that actual attraction for Krishna should, and by hearing and chanting, that actual attraction for Krishna has to develop, has to actually come. And this is what was being described here. This is why a devotee doesn't, have to... This is why a devotee transcends all of these other things, because of his attraction for Krishna. All of the other processes, it's just the rules and regulations, isn't it? Our rules and regulations are not much different from the Mayavadi impersonalist, even the Buddhist. Our rules and regulations are not very different. They're almost exactly the same. So what is it that we're different is that we develop actual attachment for Krishna, for Krishna's service, and for devotees of Krishna. And like that, that we should cultivate that and also be feeling that. How is our actual attraction for Krishna? Not that just following the rules and regulations, that means... that is my, that's the perfection, that's the sum of substance. I can follow very nicely, that's very good. But why we're following nicely is to actually develop Krishna consciousness. And this is all through the Bhagavatam. Actually, the very first chapters of Bhagavatam is called the change of heart. That we are performing this devotional service, that actually our heart will become softened. Actually, we'll give up envy of other living entities, will give up anger, will give up fear, give up all these different things. And of course, it's said to give up fear, then one has to have shelter of spiritual master. Maya Dvita, I can't remember the Sanskrit, this one verse there. That one who has accepted the spiritual master has given up fear. And this spiritual master, he's representing the energy of the Lord. Mahatmanastu Mamparata Devim Prakriti Ashrita. In the purport there, this verse is a nectar of instruction. That verse is quoted. Prabhupada makes a point that Devim Prakriti Ashrita means Radharani or Lakshmi Devi. So the great soul means that he's under the shelter of that person, Radharani. And how can we have under the shelter of Radharani? How do we know? Can we have spiritual vision or ears to hear Radharani? I don't know, I don't. But if you do, very wonderful. If we don't, then it's described as spiritual master. He's representative of Radharani. So in one sense, bhakti is the most mystical, is the most far out. But in another sense, bhakti is the most far in also. In a sense, it is the most grounding. It is the most like coming back home. It's like a feeling of, oh, he's my brother, she's my sister, she's my mother, like that. It's that feeling of home, that real feeling that you get of, yes, I belong here. So in one sense, it's really far out. In another sense, it's really down to earth. And the down to earth part of Devim Prakriti Mashrita is that if we're sheltered by Radharani, we're sheltered by the instructions of the Guru. And when we're sheltered by instructions of the Guru, there's many kinds of guru, diksha, shiksha. There's different senior devotees giving us instruction. If we're sheltered by those instructions, then we're sheltered by Radharani, and we can make very nice progress. So I'd like to stop there and leave as many exalted Vaishnavas here. If there's any comments by them first, I'd be very happy to hear. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any comments or question? Okay, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.